Good morning.
Morning.
I've had a long association with this church, going back at least 60 years. The first time I came here, I think I was about 15, and a long, long association, and then I became the pastor of the church in 1988, when Sue and I, with our children, Anna and Stephen, moved here from Bradford, where we were at that time. I've just been thinking this morning, Christmas 1988, Anna would have been 11 and Steve 9. And so they would have been part of the group of children who were doing the Christmas nativity. And a lot has happened since then. And here we are with you this morning. It's a delight to be here. I thought those children were absolutely marvelous. Do you know, they didn't have a single piece of paper in front of them to prompt them. They had some human prompts in front of them who made sure they were getting it as near to right as possible. But even the youngest of those children didn't have any piece of paper in front of them at all. I thought they were absolutely marvelous. And even doing sign language, it was incredible. And so if somebody would like to send a message to those children and say, there is a white-haired old man downstairs. It's not Father Christmas, but he is an old, white-haired old man, and he thought you were absolutely wonderful. And indeed they were. And so it is a joy to speak to you. It is a privilege. The children have told us the story of Christmas. And sometimes the story of Christmas is embellished a little bit and has become embellished over the years. And my task this morning is to try to say the story of the Christ. Because at the center of the Christmas story is a person. At the center of the Christian faith is a person. That person is totally unique. God became a human being. That is beyond my comprehension. It is beyond my ability to explain. But that is what happened. People say, how can I know God? And God said, I will make myself known to humankind by becoming a human myself. That is part of the story of the Christ. The children have taken us from Nazareth in Galilee, in the northern part of Israel, to Bethlehem, south of Jerusalem. It's easy for us to think of that journey and to think, well, they just walked and in no time at all, they were next door in Bethlehem. They made a journey of around about 80 miles on foot. Maybe there was a donkey for Jesus or for Mary. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but it is part of the story that has been built in. Little donkey. But they made the journey, 80 miles, to walk to this place. And so I asked the question, why Bethlehem? Bethlehem was a very small town in a province of Israel, which was called Judea. But Bethlehem was the royal city. It is where the great King David, hundreds of years previously, had been born. And where the prophet Micah, 700 odd years before the birth of Jesus, said that that child would be born in Bethlehem. You, Bethlehem Ephrata, you are too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. And so God had prescribed that the coming king the Messiah would be born in this little town of Bethlehem. 5 miles south of the city where you would have expected this king to be born. Bethlehem was the smallest of all the towns, very insignificant, relatively low population. But God had said that's where the Messiah would be born. So that is where they weren't. So what is the spiritual message of the Christ of Christmas? They arrived in Bethlehem, and the New Testament tells us that the town was full because there was a religious festival on, and there was no room at the inn. And so baby Jesus, when he was born, was put in a manger. We've assumed that because he was put in a manger, he was actually born in a stable. That may not have been the case. All the Bible says, there was no room in the inn, and he was born in a manger. Maybe it was a small house, maybe it was an outbuilding. That lovely carol, Away in a Manger, says the cattle are lowing. Well, there may have been cattle there if it was a stable, but it may not have been. But that actually is unimportant. The important thing is that that night, a child, a man-child was born, and the child was the embodiment of God in human flesh. That is how God decided he would reach out to us. People of every race, of every period of human history, God decided to reach out to you, to you, to you, to you, by becoming a real person. A person who experienced pain, a person who experienced rejection, a person who experienced loneliness and being misunderstood. God became a real person. That is the message of the Christ. God became man and dwelt among us. And he came to be the Savior of the world. And when this message is pronounced by an angel to Joseph, by an archangel, that is the chief angel, to Mary, and to these shepherds in the field of Bethlehem, firstly by one angel, and by a host or a multitude of nations, when that message was announced supernaturally, it they as a mother father, born of conception, production, supernaturally, by the power of God, Joseph, not the human father, but the one who was chosen by God to take the role of the human father of this baby Jesus Christ. And he came the Savior of the world. A Savior is needed when people need to be saved. Every one of us born, born since then, and even those before him, needed a Savior, because there is something with which we are born that separates us from God. That something is summed up in one word called sin, which we don't too commonly use and perhaps don't want to use. It means that we're not living and being the sort of people and doing the sort of things that God intends us to be doing. We are separated from God because of our sin, and we have no means to deal with that. So God decided he would deal with it by becoming a human. His name, Jesus, Hebrew Yeshua, means he who saves. And Christ became the Savior because you and I needed saving. The angels in their announcement said, He will be called the Son of God. In religious or Christian circles, there is confusion as to who Jesus is. But those angels said clearly, he will be called the Son of God, and that he himself is God. The New Testament tells us that he laid aside everything that was his in heaven, and he took on him the form of a human being. He was in human likeness in order that he could reach and save us from our sin. He is the Savior. He is God. Isaiah the prophet, 700 years before Jesus, said, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the heart of the Christmas story, the heart of the Christ of Christmas. God himself has come that we may know him. And then after the shepherds had gone there and they'd heard that wonderful host, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill to all mankind. It was sometime afterwards, we don't know how long, that these wise men came to see this baby. We don't know whether there were two or whether there were three or whether there were six or whether there were seven. Because the Bible simply says wise men, and tradition has given us the number of three. So maybe there were, maybe there were not, but that doesn't matter. These men came, led by a star that took them firstly to Jerusalem, and they instantly asked this wicked king Herod, where is this king to be born? When he heard that a king was to be born, in his heart he pled to destroy him. And the star continued to lead them to this little town of Bethlehem. And they brought gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. And they gave these gifts and worship the baby. That's important because it is at the heart of our Christian faith. They did not worship the mother nor the father. They worshipped him. The Bible, from the beginning in the Old Testament to the end of the New Testament, the only person that we should worship is God himself. They worshipped this baby because he qualified to be worshipped. He was God who became human. And so when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child, Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. God of God, Light of lights, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. Very God, begotten, not created, O come. What about Mary? I think Mary must rank as one of the most wonderful, if not the most wonderful women in human history. Chosen by God, receive the Son of God, and to give birth to this little child, and to care for him throughout his childhood, seeing to all his physical and human needs, giving him that social support that he needed, partly in the knowledge of what lay ahead of him. As wonderful as she was human, not divine. And after the days of what the Old Testament called her purification had been fulfilled. She was required to go to the temple and to present what the Bible calls a sin offering. The requirement was a couple of lambs and some turtle doves. But God said, for those who cannot afford a lamb, you can bring two doves or pigeons. This is an important part of the message of Christ. That mother of Jesus went to the high priest to give a sin offering. She gave the poor person sacrifice. The fact that she took two pigeons was a public statement. She could not afford a lamb. The poor person's sacrifice. What a message for us to grasp. And God chose her. But what about Bethlehem? What about the message of the angels to those shepherds? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to all of mankind. What about Bethlehem today? Bethlehem today is in the west bank of Jordan. And like modern Gaza, being torn apart by human suffering and war. A few days ago, I read this article. Bethlehem is normally at its busiest at Christmas, but this year war has scared away tourists and pilgrims from the Palestinian town in the Israeli-occupied West Bank, leaving hotels, restaurants, souvenir shops deserted. With global headlines dominated since October the 7th by news of the Hamas attacks in southern Israel, followed by Israel's military in Gaza and a rise in violence in the West Bank, business owners in Bethlehem said no one was coming. "We have no guests, not one," said Joey Canavati, owner of the Alexander Hotel, whose family has lived in Bethlehem for four generations. "This is the worst Christmas ever. Bethlehem shut down for Christmas. No Christmas tree. No joy. No Christmas spirit," he said. Located just south of Jerusalem, Bethlehem is heavily reliant for income and jobs on visitors from all over the world, which come to see the Church of the Nativity, believed in the site where Jesus was born. Canavati said that before October the 7th, the hotel was fully booked before Christmas, to the point that he was looking for rooms elsewhere in the town to help out people who not fit in. Started, including bookings for next year. All we get on the email is cancellation after cancellation after cancellation, said Canavati. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Bethlehem today is ravaged by war and suffering and death. Yet the angel said 2,000 years ago, peace on earth, goodwill to all mankind. I ask the question, what has gone wrong? Why? Why is God not fulfilled his promise? Here is my answer. He will. For the last three Sundays, Sue and I have worshipped in the Anglican Church in our village, which is where we normally worship, in the village where we live in Hampshire. And one thing that has struck me in the last 3 weeks is that the Bible readings and the teachings has been not just about the first advent of Jesus Christ, but about his second advent. Because Christ has come, but Christ is coming again. And when he comes again, he will bring to this world the peace and the rule that is promised in Scripture. The King has come, but the King is coming. And right now, we are living in a world of human suffering and envy and jealousy and war. I'm fascinated by the news. One of the things I do, the first thing I do when I get up each morning, is to switch on my phone and to read BBC News. And apart from international warfare, be that in Israel, Gaza, or Ukraine, or anywhere else, I am stunned by the atrocities and the loss of human life taking place on the streets of our country. Mothers being charged with murder for the death of their children. The latest in the house in Croydon, only a few days ago, when her children were found in a house where they'd been left alone, and their lives have been lost in a horrific fire. Children being stabbed on our streets by youngsters hardly as old as their victims. We are living in a terrible world. A world to which Jesus Christ came to rescue people from sin. But he is coming back again. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. King of kings and Lord of lords. That day is coming. I ask the question to each of us this morning. Have we come to know for ourselves the Savior of the world? Have we come to discover for ourselves what it is to be saved from our sins, to be rescued from our sin through putting our trust in this God-man, Jesus Christ? And are we ready for that day that will come when Jesus Christ will return to this world? I trust this morning that I've helped to explain not the Christmas story, but the story of the Christ. I hope you will come to understand it and that you will come to know him.